In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so trying to get ready for everything. Okay, here we go. We're on letter number 88, and this is Luisa's letters. And if you haven't read Luisa's letters, this is something that is really exciting. You hear Luisa, you enter into her personality when you read her letters. She's just such a sweet and gentle woman, as you know, and you just hear what St. Padre Pio said. She's more of heaven than of earth. So as for the writings, there is nothing to fear that they might be destroyed. See, at a time, the writings were missing, and I think to help us understand the seriousness of these writings, and Jesus says the punishment for losing these writings would be very, very severe, Jesus said, when they were lost. But I think he's just trying to tell us that if the writings are not, if we're not focusing on the writings, if the writings are collecting dust, that's a whole nother situation. And the seriousness of Jesus has given us these writings, and he's really asking us to read, to study, and to put them into practice. And as you read, as you learn this language, as you learn this language of heaven, as you read, your personality that God has given you becomes perfected. It's just, this is what happened to Luisa, and we hope and pray this will happen to us soon. So as for the writings, there is nothing to fear that they might be destroyed. Jesus keeps them in custody, and woe to whoever would dare to touch them, because these are his writings, not mine, Luisa said. And he will know how to defend what belongs to him. And that's one of the things that Archbishop Piccieri, with one of his last letters that he wrote, I think he died of a broken heart. His last letters that he wrote to everyone was to say that there is something heretical in Luisa's writings is hurting the cause. And I remember the cardinal saying to him, you know, we're waiting for these writings in all languages. And he just had his head down and he nodded. Yes, yes, we're working on that. He said he was going to put his imprimatur on the writings. And then there were some bumps in the road. I mean, there's always bumps in the road. But I think his goal was to make sure that everyone in the world would have these writings in their own language. And that's one of the things that is happening. A lot of times the translations are wrong. You know, the translator is called the traitor in Italy. So sometimes if they translate wrong, it would be difficult to understand. For example, the creature, you know, the word creatura, you know, in Japan, there's the creature that comes out, the monster that comes out. And say, for example, the creature is translated monster, that just destroys all of what Luisa says. The creatura in the Pauline language is the baby that's fallen on the ground and broken and bleeding. You know, help the little creature, help the little one, heal this little one. So, you know, if the translation is wrong, and we haven't got the official translations yet, they are coming. But what we do have, what we have been told by the Vicar General the Vicar General of Corrado, of Trani, he said that we had the best translations at this point. So you know that if the translation is wrong, you get a whole different direction. And that's happening in certain places. But the good thing about that is you're going to get a good translation. If the translations are poor and the authority knows this, the bishops know this, then we are going to get a better translation. And this is why these are Jesus's writings, Luisa says. They're not my writings. And Jesus knows how to defend what belongs to him. And this understanding of Luisa has to get deeper and deeper every day. And that's why I love the calendar. Every day, as you read the calendar, you enter into a deeper understanding of this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. For example, Jesus says, each word that I speak, Jesus says, as the word of God, as I speak this, he says, it's a divine life that will always expand as the people read this life. It's an understanding from Jesus that he wants us to embrace. And, you know, for 100 million years, for all eternity, basically, we still will not be able to embrace the fullness of this word. We will get, it depends on our docility. It depends on our, surrender to what God is asking. Came to me the other day that, this word that Jesus speaks is a library. It's one word is a library that Jesus will just keep on expanding. And it's filled with everything relates to everything in the divine will. And, you know, as we begin to read, he keeps on expanding our understanding of what these writings are. And that's why, for us, we gotta be careful. I remember when, this was in 1995, we were reading some of the writings, and we had a book or two at that time. And at the end of our prayer meeting, somebody threw the book down on the ground, and I said, "Do you know what this? This is Jesus speaking to us." And I said, and then I said, "Well, you know, we haven't really explained this yet." I said, "We have to thank God for what we have." So we wrapped the writings in gold, and we put it on the altar, and we just said, "Thank you, Lord, for these writings." Then we went, "We would really like these writings. We like them all. I mean, thank you for this. We only got half of them. You know, can we have the other half?" And 6 weeks later, they were out of the Vatican. It really, see, Jesus wants to see our desire. Is our desire for what he wants, and that's the fulfillment of the Our Father, is that desire, is it really our desire? You know, do we understand what Jesus is saying to us in these writings that are, as Louisa says here, are his writings? Do we begin to understand the depth of each word that the word of God is speaking to Louisa? And he calls it the gospel of the kingdom. So what does that mean? The gospels that were given to the apostles, were the proclamation of the kingdom of redemption. The gospel that we're now reading, the gospel of the kingdom, is the proclamation of sanctification. If it's not just redemption has been given, but now the next step, sanctification, is coming. And that's why when you read 1 through 10, it's basically how to become a saint, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And then 11 through 19, Jesus says, this hasn't been taught to anyone yet. He says to Louisa, why? It wasn't time for that. And now this understanding of being living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit is coming upon the earth. And this is going to be a great time for all of humanity, a wonderful time when the second Pentecost occurs, when this fire from heaven consumes the world in love, which is symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, that divine inheritance that Adam lost, how to get back into this abundant life that Jesus wants to breathe in us. So she says, as far as your little one, I consider him the son of a miracle. So here, Luis is talking to Federico Alparash about his son. And in the page before this, you see Federico Alparash receiving Holy Communion from his son, who became a cardinal and worked in the sacred office of the Vatican. So she says, as for your little one, I consider him as the son of a miracle. How could you not think that the Lord will not use him to do great things in him? Now he became a cardinal. Therefore, raise him holy and all raise him in all in the will of God, and the Lord will do the rest. So when you look at your children, a lot of people are afraid for their families, their children, their grandchildren. They know they're not one with God. So your prayer is powerful. The prayer in the divine will is powerful. You raised your children as best you could, your grandchildren as best you could, and leaving them all in the will of God. And this is this prayer of Lord, you have to be the one to bring them into this life. God will do all the rest. And then Louisa says, pray for me. I'm leaving you in the divine volition to form your life. Think about this. I leave you in the divine will to form. The divine will is going to form your life. When you pray for your children, your grandchildren, it's the same thing. I pray for them. You know, I pray for them. And I leave them in the divine will so that the Lord, God Almighty, will form their life all soaked in the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. And from the heart, I greet father and mother and son, most affectionately yours, little daughter of the divine will, Louisa Picaretta. So here she's writing this letter to Federico Abarash, and she knows that this family that has been started living in the divine will is going to have, it's going to have its fruit. The same thing for us. Your family, God is going to take care of them. If you surrender them to Jesus and Mary through the intercession of Louisa, there's nothing to fear. Just listen to that prayer. Basically, you pray that they're raised in holiness. You pray that they are do everything in the will of God, and you surrender them to Jesus and Mary through Louisa, and God will do all the rest. It's your intention that God looks at. Your intention is the most important thing. How are you? What is your desire for your children? What do you want the best for your children? Do you have your grandchildren? If you want the best for your nation, do you want the best for the world? Do you want the best for the church and for your priests, for your bishop, for your deacons? This is why the prayers are so powerful. Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command. With that, you are confident that God is going to take care of it. And there's no question. Jesus said to the apostles, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Now, more than that, this is what we're going to enter into with the divine will. This is really just, it's astonishing. You can't get over how much our God loves us. So in letter number 133, Jesus has the centuries in his power. This is Louisa speaking. Jesus has all of time in his power. And whatever he does not do today, he will do tomorrow. That's the wonderful thing. God has given us many insights, many dreams, many awarenesses of what is coming, little glimpses, things that were said, you know, all throughout our lives. A lot of it hasn't been done yet, has not accomplished yet. Why? Because what he's going to do, he tells us beforehand, this is what I want you to enter into. He will do tomorrow, because he says, today's minds are blind. We can't see clearly what God has got planned for us. Tomorrow, he will find eyes. Tomorrow, he will find these eyes which will be able to sustain the light of the divine will. See, this is, you have been predestined by God to live at this time. You've been predestined by God to receive the book of heaven. Again, like the waves that were all around the boat when Jesus was walking on the water, the storm that the apostles were in, Peter said to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. And he goes, come. He goes, come out of the boat. And Peter walked on water. And then he was alarmed by the waves. He wasn't looking at Jesus. He was distracted. And that's what's happening today. A lot of people are being distracted from the the truth. The truth is Jesus is with us. Jesus he's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. And the eyes, Jesus says, are blind at this point. So what does God have to do? He has to put us in a more difficult situation to make us become aware of how great he is, how magnificent he is, how powerful he is. And that's what's happening. Today's world in the church, in your families, in your nation, in the condition of the world, it's serious. It's very difficult. But if we're focused on the waves and not on Jesus, you're going to become afraid like Peter. Peter started sinking and he cries out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." And what does he do? Jesus grabs him and he doesn't say, "Good job. You walked 20 feet and then you failed." He said, "Why did you fall? Why did you fall? Why did you falter? Why did you fail? Where's your faith?" The Lord wants us to have such faith in him that no matter what the situation is, it's fiat. No matter what the situation is, you're God and I trust you. That's why he said to St. Faustina, "The final devotion I give but to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you." It's going to get tough, but we're going to get through this. So Luisa says, he says, "And what he does not do today, he will do tomorrow. They will have the eyes to sustain the light of the divine will." And he says, "And he will do all that he has not done today. More is coming than you could imagine. This, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, is what's coming. And God is going to surprise humanity. And like the children of Fatima, it'll get scary. It will get scary. But going back to Luisa's, her letters, when you read her letters, you're filled with peace. "Sending you my regards and leaving you all in the immense ocean, the immense sea of the divine will." Luisa Picarella, the little daughter of the divine will. This life that our God wants us to begin to enter into is a new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied. Sister Assunta, co-founder of the Pious Association, Luisa Picaretta, Little Children of the Divine Will, located in Corrado, Italy, promoter of the cause of the beatification of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. The book written by Sister Assunta, titled "My Family is the Trinity." The following text is from the Luisa Picaretta official website. "The Almighty has done great things for me. This is the verse of the Canticle of the Magnificat that we should meditate, because the Lord always works great wonders in the soul who entrusts himself totally to God, totally to Jesus." That has to become we echo what Our Lady said. "The Almighty has done great things for me." He has called us to be baptized Catholics. He has called us to adoration. He's called us to be under the blue mantle of the Blessed Mother. He has called us to be in the divine will. He's given us the book of heaven. "The Almighty has done great things for me." As we enter into this life, we become more thankful to the Lord. We praise the Lord. We thank the Lord. He has done wonderful things for us. You know, one of the things we saw, like in Maui, was all the blue objects didn't get burnt. And that to me was Our Lady is going to protect us if we're under her blue mantle. Even in Numbers, the book of Numbers, the ark was covered with a blue cloth, the ark, Our Lady. She's the new ark, if you want to say. She is the one who, she's the ark of the covenant. I mean, if we are with Our Lady, the storm that we're going to be in, we're not going to get wet. Remember, Noah didn't get wet. he was on that for 40 days and 40 nights on that ark. And the Our Lady is going to protect us as well. She is the ark that we are protected by. So the Canticle, the Magnificat, has to be our prayer. And we have to begin to pray that prayer, one with Our Lady, okay? Because the Lord always works wonders in the soul who trusts himself totally to our God. Great things are our successes, giving ourselves to others, doing all we can for others without keeping nothing back for ourselves, because everything is for the glory of the Lord. That dying to self is essential. We were taught basically, it was really interesting just by example how a parent would, you know, split up the food for the children and make sure that the children had a little more than the parent. That always astonished me when I saw that. It was the selfish selflessness that they had. And, our successes are giving ourselves to others, doing all we can for others without keeping anything back for ourselves, because everything is for the glory of the Lord. So when we pray, we want to pray not just for our families, not just our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. I mean, we can begin with that. But Jesus teaches Luisa to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You become the voice of all of humanity. So when you're praising God and loving God and glorifying God in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, God hears all of humanity, all those that were conceived, praising God and loving God and glorifying God. All those who have lived, who are living, or who are yet to live, past, present, and future. So we give ourselves to others, doing all we can for others, without keeping anything back for ourselves, because everything is for the glory of God. When we enter into that selflessness, it's the life of Jesus, it's the life of Mary. So Sister Assunta is a living witness to God's action in the soul who abandons her all her riches and earthly affairs because she wants to give herself only to God. To what God himself silently and respectfully asks of each and every one of us. She's a tough cookie. I worked with her for a while, and she is a tough cookie. I mean, she has a lot to do, and if you're working for her, you have a lot to do as well. But God is showing us through her generous life the riches that she gave away, the earthly affairs that she didn't do for herself, only for God, to do what God himself wanted, what God asked silently, repeatedly to each and every one of us. God is the Word. He's always talking to. That's why, again, I love the calendar. I can say the word. I love the calendar because Jesus is speaking constantly. He's filling us with grace. He's filling us with peace, joy, and happiness as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice. So to follow God, this soul deprives herself of every possession and of any emotional bond. She was, like I said, she's a tough little cookie. You know, when you hear about saints, you know, God bless the saints, but when you work with a saint, it's tough. Like I, my priest friend, Father Murphy, he was tough on himself. He was a drill sergeant to himself and with everybody around him. And you need that. You don't see, we're in battle. We're at war. It's the war that everyone is going through worldwide. But if you have a wimpy drill sergeant who says, well, it doesn't matter, you know, you're not going to survive long. So in your own life, you have to be telling yourself, teaching yourself, unless you have a good spiritual director, of how to live, because we fool ourselves more than anyone else. Yeah. You know, we are easy on ourselves. It's like, well, it's almost an hour. I can leave now. you stay the whole hour. You discipline yourself to pray the whole hour, because the graces that you get, this is what I find, is the last minutes, the last few minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when everything, you know, comes together. It's you have fulfilled that hour of prayer, you know, fasting before communion, going to making confession part of our lives, you know, at least once a month, you know, that you, the discipline that you're going through prayer. My priest friend told me a long time ago, you pray whether you want to or not. This is your job, is to pray. Now in the divine will, it's more of a beautiful prayer because it's, you know, your prayers are going to be answered. You know it because of the command prayer, which Jesus taught Louisa. So that she deprived herself of every possession. And so Sister Assunta kept all her testimony in a little book called My Family is the Trinity. It was presented to the Association of Little Children of the Divine Will in 2019 on the day of her 90th birthday. On that occasion, the Eucharistic celebration in the Church of Santa Maria Greca was presided by Archbishop DiCenzo with the participation of the zonal vicar, I can't say his name, Francesco Nunzilis, the assistant priest of the Church of St. Maria Greca, and Don Sergio Pellegrini. So when you meet Father Sergio, I met him when he was newly ordained, basically. It was like his first assignment. You know, can you imagine this? Graced by God to be at Santa Maria Greca Church, where the body of Louisa was. That's his first assignment. And he's now the vicar general of the diocese. A wonderful man, very spiritual man who, if you read his book too, The Saints of the Divine Will, it's very, very amazing. He's really good at what he does. So Sister Assunta wants to give this book as an inheritance for the continuity of the Association Louisa Picaretta Little Children of the Divine Will that she helped found in 1982 with Father Bucci, with the approval of Archbishop Giuseppe Carata. He's the one who studied Louisa as a seminarian, and then he became the archbishop, and he loved Louisa. At the opening of the cause, Archbishop Carata said, he says, what you're going to read, those who haven't read Louisa, what you're going to read is, I'm paraphrasing, it's going to open a new spirituality of your life that will basically astound you. And so here he is saying this at the opening of the cause, and that was in 1994 with Archbishop Cassati as the archbishop opening the cause. So the book is a gift that Sister Assunta wishes to give, first of all, to the archbishop and the association and all those who will come to know this reality, which is based on the spirituality of Louisa Picaretta and draws its inspiration from Louisa's writings. So she says, I offer you the love you bring, the three divine persons. These are the final words of a prayer by Louisa that accidentally ended up in the hands of Sister Assunta. These words confirm the love that Sister Assunta already felt for the Holy Trinity, conquering her further. Then Sister Assunta felt that the Holy Trinity was to become her true family. And the Association Louisa Picaretta of the Divine Will is the family which Sister Assunta wished to give rise, building its house on the solid, unshakable foundations on the model of the Trinitarian family. The book speaks of the birth and the life of this great family that is the Association Little Children of the Divine Will. It is the first official book written by Sister Assunta. It was born in an act of obedience to Archbishop Giovanni Battista Piceri, the book written for obedience, a virtue that, as the author herself emphasizes, shows the will of God through his shepherds. So on June 14th, 2015, Archbishop Piceri, at the conclusion of the opening day of Louisa Picaretta, which took place in the theater in Corrado, summoned Sister Assunta aside and gave her the order to write down all her experiences. He said, I call you to tell you that from this moment, you must write everything about your coming to Corrado and all that has been done for Luisa, for the association of the church, without omitting anything, you must tell me what Luisa is for you and what she is for the church. Everything must be known, and everything that you write everything. The will of God is with you. So here, you know, if you haven't seen The Dawn of a Mystery, or even if you have seen The Dawn of a Mystery, listen to Sister Asunta talk. It's a delight. It's you can see how Luisa touched her soul, and how Luisa's touching our souls now. And we pray that soon the kingdom will become on earth as it is in heaven. This obedience overcame the reluctance of Sister Asunta to speak a little about herself, her private life. Her life is as consecrated a religious woman in the Institute of the Poor Daughters of the Visitation in Naples, her hometown. This is a chapter that inevitably she had to introduce in the book to better understand the evolution of her religious life and a search for a deeper Trinitarian spiritual dimension that would take her to know the great figure of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretto, who, with her constant fiat, collaborated with the Trinitarian spirit for the salvation of men, nourishing them with the sanctity of the divine will. There are about 40 years of history of the Association Luisa Little Children of the Divine Will that unrolled throughout the book. Now, this is an association that is greatly blessed. It's greatly blessed. When we were there when it opened, the cause, and at that time, they said to us, you know, join the association. So we all joined the association, and I think it was 1986. And what happened? There were so many that came in that the bishop said, no, this is for Corrado. There'll be other associations, and that'll come up later as we read. The other association, Luisa Picaretta, that is really catching the world on fire. Many, many bishops, many priests, many religious are part of that, this association, Little Children of the Divine Will. So there are about 40 years of history that unroll throughout the book. The first group of it that was formed by the early 80s up to the inclusion of new members, the bishop who knew and supported her, the recovery of what had belonged to Luisa and the places inhabited by the Little Daughter of the Divine Will, the bond with the Divine Will group scattered throughout the world, and much more, accompanied by illustrations and photographs. I remember when we were in Costa Rica at the first national conference, I think it was 1994, I think, maybe 1995. And somebody came in and broke into the association and stole Luisa's furniture, you know. So when the Archbishop got back, you know, the place was empty. And so the Archbishop wrote a letter and put it in the paper and said, I want to tell you, he said, it was really funny. I want to tell you that Luisa dealt with the devil in many, 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 many difficult ways that the devil was basically torturing her. And the bishop said something like, if the furniture doesn't come back, I'm paragraphrasing, you just get ready for the devil to torture you as well. Okay. Everything was back the following week. Everything was back in front of they brought all the furniture back, all the things that they stole. But it was really hilarious because here they are stealing, and they know the devil is real, and they, you know, they're in enough trouble as it is. So everything came back, and everything was back in the association. So, okay. Now, through this book, these memories are all available to all. The new Archbishop DeCenzo succeeded Archbishop Picheri, and he wrote in the preface, the whole history of the association, every single step, has always had the approval of the bishops of the local church. Archbishop Carata welcomed Sister Asunta, just arrived at Corrado in October 1981. Monsignor Archbishop Cassati, Archbishop Picheri. So let us entrust ourselves to the will of God, of the Father, and we will all see wonders. Great things will make his power in us. And this is the thing, the power of the divine will It's just astonishing. It is just astonishing. If you're having any trouble, pray this prayer that Jesus will intervene for you. And when you pray that prayer, Jesus intervened for me, through Our Lady and Louisa, intervene. Watch what God will do. It will astonish you. Any difficulties that you're in, you're going to enter into this prayer, there's nothing to worry about. That when the relationship that you have with Jesus becomes more intimate, more oneness with him. And that's why we wear the wedding ring and go through that, the four marriages, the nuptials that Louisa went through, is he actually becomes our spouse. And we do this because Louisa went through it. We want to echo what Louisa said, what Louisa did. We want to make sure that this is part of our life as well. And that's what you see with Sister Assunta, how the bishops helped her, how the bishops helped Louisa, how the popes helped Louisa. And what's coming is this new and divine way of holiness that's going to astonish the world. Now here's Andriana Palati. This is the next art. It's a picture with Father Bucci. She was a sweetie pie. As a matter of fact, her house where she lived was the first place in the world that had a divine will prayer meeting under the direction of St. Padre Pio. And she would talk about St. Padre Pio like they were best friends. It was and man, she talked very fast. And it was always about Louisa, how great Louisa was, how magnificent Louisa was. So Andriana was a spiritual doctor of a daughter of Padre Pio. And well, this is currently an heir to Padre Pio's wishes. She has opened a house of the divine will. It's Giovanni Rotondo. So when you look at the new cathedral, new basilica, the road to the left goes down this hill, the first road that goes down this hill, the first house that you run into is her house. It's like the corner of this basilica. She kept alive the torch lit by Padre Pio with Federico Alvarez. She says that it was Blessed Padre Pio, well, it was Saint Padre Pio now, who encouraged her to spread Louisa's spirituality in San Giovanni Rotondo and helped disseminate the divine will throughout the world as Padre Pio desired. See, this is the other thing too. This is far bigger than you could imagine. The heavyweights in the spiritual world, like Padre Pio, Saint Annibal de Francia, Saint Pius X, Pope Leo XIII, all these great men and women are leading us to enter into this gift. So she says she came here to live in San Giovanni Rotondo in 1945 when I heard some friends were there that there was a saint so great, so holy with the stigmata. So she said, I decided to leave the house of my father and all my things to come here to live in poverty close to Padre Pio. After a few years, I met Federico Alvarez, who was a German man converted by Padre Pio, and he had come to live in San Giovanni Rotondo. So here is Andriana. She was a fireball. I mean, all she wanted to do was talk about Louisa. It was hard to get a word in. She was talking so much. So she's a wonderful lady who lived in San Giovanni Rotondo, near Foggia. Foggia is where Marina's from, where she founded the House of Prayer, the Kingdom of the Divine Will. She originally is from Moderna, Northern Italy. She moved to San Giovanni Rotondo many years ago to live close to Padre Pio. She says Padre Pio then became her confessor and spiritual director. In San Giovanni Rotondo, she attended the Cenacles of Federico Alvarez of the Divine Will when Louisa was still alive. During the 40s, he became a close friend and disciple of Louisa. He used to visit her house and learn directly from Louisa and from her manuscripts the sublime truths of living in the divine will, and he exchanged frequent correspondence with Louisa. So she is a Oh, she was just a delight. And I remember I kept on saying to her, I'd say to her, well, see you next year. She goes, I'm too old, you know. She said, I won't see you. You know, then I'd go back and she'd be there and I'd say, see you next year. You go, I'm too old, you know. She'd always say, and then one day she was too old. But she has we have in Luisa Picaretta the conversations that she had in script, if you want to read. So Mother Gabriele Maria of the Annunciation, Superior of the Benedictine, Daughters of the Divine Will. This is November 9th, 2020. In April 2015, I attended the Divine Will Conference in Corrado. When I attended a meeting with Bishop of Corrado, he told everyone present that we've always been able to read all the Divine Will writings that our Lord gave to Luisa. Okay, now he did say, I was there too, I was right there, and he did also say, I don't know where you heard that you couldn't read these writings, he said. I never said that. Neither of the bishops have said that. So and so he says he asked only that no one publish the writings, and you're allowed to print them for others in your prayer group, but not to publish them to give out to everybody. Okay. So he also said that for your prayer group, he says you should have a priest to help you with any difficulties you might have with theology, that the priest would be able to help you understand these questions. Like, for example, when Jesus would say to Luisa, I want you to open your mouth so I can feed you like a bird. I want to fill you with the bread, the first bread of the divine will. And people have said, well, I'm not a bird. Why should I open my mouth? And it's like, it's mystical. It's God wants to fill us like a mama bird filling the baby birds. So again, the one thing that you have to know is you can read the writings. No one said you can't read the writings. There's a couple of people that I've heard say that, but the Archbishop didn't say that. On December 2nd, December 18th, 1997, Reverend Antonio and Reverend Cosmo, theologians respectively, submitted the evaluations of Luisa's writings to the diocesan tribunal, affirming that nothing contained therein is contrary to Catholic faith or morals. On July 24th, 2010, both theological censors whose identities are secret, this is another group, appointed by the Holy See, gave their approval to Luisa's writings, asserting that nothing contained therein is opposed to faith or morals. On November 1st, 2012, the Archbishop of Trani wrote a formal notice containing the rebuke of those who claim that these writings contain doctrinal error, stating that such people scandalize the faithful, and preeminent judgment reserved only to the Holy See. So there are some people that say, you know, this is not Catholic. And it's unfortunate. And in April 22nd, 2015, Archbishop Vitrani wrote, I wish to let you know that the cause of the beatification is proceeding positively. I have recommended to all that they deepen the life and the teachings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. So here, the postulator of the cause of beatification of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, met with Father Elijah and I, this is Mother Gabriel, and said that Cardinal Ratzinger in 1997 gave us approval of all 36 volumes of Luisa. He did say all these should be published. Hope this helps, because some people were confused hearing people say you can't read. Be assured that you remain in our thoughts and our prayers. God bless, love and prayers, Mother Gabriel Marie. So there's a lot of beautiful things that are happening. God has called you from the beginning of time to live at this time, to enter into this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. It's a beautiful time to be alive. It's an amazing time spiritually as you enter into this gift. Everything that you've ever dreamed of to become holy and saintly, it's at your fingertips right now. I can guarantee you this. You're going to be greatly surprised. The things that you have struggled with maybe for, you know, decades, God, the healing that comes, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, the healing that comes is just so astonishing that God is going to take care of you. He has to take care of you. He loves you very much. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, honor the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.